that, the reason we come up on Hong Kong is so we can eat. We got a bunch to feed now, and so it keeps us real busy. I happen to be up in the area. My daughter lives over here in Fort Richmond, and her husband's in the military. And she's adopted a little girl from China, and we're sort of partial toward that. And then my grandson played an all-star football game. Like yesterday afternoon, he started playing, he was a house. And were you there?
No, sir, but is your mic on, sir?
It is on?
Hey! I ain't gonna walk over there. That's too far. It better sound right here. I'm not preaching over there preaching. Well, let me tell you something funny. Y'all notice I got a half an ear now. Yeah, you know how these doctors are. They got to make money, so they got to cut something off from me. Well, I was in the doctor's. I go to the VA, and the doctor was in there, and I said, "Doc, I had something happen to me since you cut my ear off, like cut it like you did." He said, "What?" He said, "Was a nurse? Another doc looked at it. He said, "Son, have you you been wearing a gauge in your ears? You know those big old things that teenagers wear today?" I said, "Yeah, I used to have one there." And so I told the real doctor who did the work. So he went online while we were sitting there, and he said, "Come here, I want to get you something." I said, "What?" He was going to buy me an earring. I said, "Buddy, you don't know me. You don't know me." So that's what happened there. At least they didn't get in my brain, okay? So then they had cataract surgery. All these things, it's benefits of getting old. Or, I'm not as old as your preacher, but I'm old enough, all right? Oh, he's not far away. He's 62 and I'm 69. Just turned 69. But I wanted to say all of that. And I preached a message the other day on the some things I learned from cataract surgery. Wish I had time. Maybe I'll preach that when I come. It's quite interesting. That's my kind of stuff. Take everyday affairs and make it applicable to what God did for you. So maybe we'll do that in the future. But I'm going to give you something tonight. You got a pencil. We gave you paper. If you don't, I have two pens. The first two that raise their, hand, they can have these pens. You can have them if you want them. You need one, sir? It's $100 for you, partner.
That's a, two for one on that.
Okay. Anybody else want? I got another. You want it, buddy? You can take turns writing, okay? All right. Can you write? Well, won't you get your songbook put underneath it and you can, yeah, you go, hey. Have to lead these kids around, sir. Pardon me, but I would like you to take down, not because of me, but I would give anything if I could hear what I'm going to say to you tonight. When I first got saved, I got saved in 1969. Come back from the Vietnam War. I was 22 years of age, and we had twin sons. I missed it 4 days. If your wife was pregnant for 2 months. They wouldn't send you over to the combat zone and stuff like that. But I missed it 4 days. And so I didn't see my twin sons until I was 16. They were 16 months of age. And so that's why I come to see my daughter, and she wasn't one of them. She's younger than my twin sons. But when I come back from the war, I told my wife, I said, "I'm missing something in my life. I don't know what it is. I'm going to find it." And thank the Lord, on the flight line, there was an old guy. An older guy, being he was about the same age, but he knew Christ, and he started talking to me about Christ. And the thing that got me, preacher, was that young man. Folks, he lived it. I'd seen hypocrites my whole life. I went to church one time, and when I was 12, they made fun of me because I was poor. I'll never forget that. They didn't want me. And I determined if that's what church is, I'll never go again. At 12 years of age, for 3 Sundays in a row, nobody befriended me, nobody invited me. How I got there, one of my daddy dropped me off. And I did. My sleeves were full. I wore my brother's coat, wore my daddy's tie. I did the best I could, but I thought that was church. I said, "I don't want nothing to do with it. The heck with it." That's the key. If somebody comes in here and don't have something, won't you ask them to sit with you? they don't have something, go buy it. Get them something. Folks, there's people out here, in the ministry of God, we deal with people that it's unreal. You just don't know what it is like today. Maybe you do. It's a different generation. I never disrespected my mom and dad, and I was lost. My daddy wouldn't let me go to movies. I was lost. He was lost. You said yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, to mama. I tell people I never, and I say this in a kind way, I never saw the shape of my mama's legs. I never. Never. I'm not talking about a bathing suit. I'm just talking about the shapes. Never in my entire life. I had a granny that had an old bun on top of her head. She went to the Church of God. She was a good old independent Baptist type person. She's talking about godly. I was lost. That guy got to witness to me and tell me about Christ. And the more they did, and then a guy come over one Thursday night, come over and he said, Jimmy, if you'll get saved, you'll have peace. Brother Randy, I sat up. I said, say that again. He said, if you'll get saved, sir, you'll have peace. I didn't tell him. I said, that's what I want. And I got it. Just about 3 weeks later, I got it. And you still, you know what, 69, I still got it. Same peace. Now, my faith is increased. But you don't get saved more. You grow in the Lord. You get saved. You don't get no more getting saved. You just grow in the Lord. And what that really is, you start yielding your life to God. There's so many things I could share with you. But if you'll just yield yourself to God, just, God, here I am. Use me. Then you become more like Him. And then He really is your Lord. And with all the mess that's going out there, all matter going out there, you're not afraid. Because He's in control. But what I want to share with you tonight, and Brother Randy and I sat this up, and I said, well, I got something I'd like to share with you. You may have heard it. I've been around, this is my 39th year of evangelism. You may have heard something like this, but I wished I could have heard this when I first got saved. God's got a purpose for the reason for you going through hard times. Why does a little 10-year-old child have to suffer? Why does a mom and daddy, they lost a son when he was 16? Why do you go through hard times? Why do you do that? I wish I could look at my grandchildren, and I got five now with Elise coming along. And I wish I could just look at them and say, your life's going to be a bed of roses. Even the best of the best of the best of the best have hard times. I don't care who you are. You're going to have it. Some starts earlier. Some starts middle age. I'm talking about real heat put on them. But there's a purpose for it. That's what I want to sort of talk with you tonight on the benefits of trials. The benefits. You say trials gives me a benefit? Yes. And I think tonight, time we get through, you're going to say, God, send me a trial. Now, if you're not in one, you'll get in one. Because life produces it. Life produces heartaches, even for Christians. You're no exemption. Lost people have nowhere to turn except drugs, alcohol, immorality, stealing, cheating, deceiving, lying. Reason we had such a mess in Washington, D.C., reason there's a mess there, you're dealing with carnal, lost people. And they're just acting who they are. That's it in a nutshell. You're dealing with mafia-type thinking people. That's who you're dealing with. What do you expect? You expect them to teach Sunday school? You expect them to be against the gay movement? Forget it. But you and I'm not up there. They ain't going to ask me to work on this thing. on his agenda and all that stuff. But why do you, why, what's the benefits of you going through some hard times? So I'd like to explain that tonight, and I hope you get it, and I hope you hang your hat on it, because you're going to use it your entire spiritual life. Look in James chapter 1, verse 1. Now, because I got it in print here, I got my Bible here, but I got it in about 28 font so I can see it. So, y'all, if I hope I wouldn't misquote a scripture, but I want you to know that. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. In verse number 1, I want you to write this down. In James chapter 1, verse 1. The right reason or the right reaction to my... Well, put down this first. Put the right reaction. The right reaction to why do we have trials. That's the first thing I want you to put down. And the right reaction, in other words, let's say your car breaks down one day. For instance, my wife, me traveling, my wife does not travel with me, so she's at home. She took care of the home front. I wanted personally, I wanted my children to go through a Christian school, and I want to interact with children. So I'm an evangelist. They travel with mom and dad. That's wonderful. I'm not against that. But I wanted my children to interact with people. I want them to play sports. I want them to get involved with teen activities. That was my goal, and that's the way we chose to do it. So my wife was not with me. She's the one that took them to school and picked them up at school. And when I was there, I'd get to do it. But one day she called me and she said, Jimmy, our car, the car that she had and the car that I had, she said, the transmission just went out. Now, how would you react it? Oh, what are you doing, woman? Backwards 100 miles an hour? What's the deal on you? How'd you blow a transmission? They ain't on blow. And my wife didn't need me to chew her out. She didn't need somebody to react. She needed somebody to act. Solve the problem. And the way you solve the problem, the first step that you do if you're going to find out the benefits of a trial is count it all joy. Hey, that's hard, man. You don't understand. That's difficult. Sure. Remember, you're not dealing with your flesh. You're dealing with your spirit. Naturally, your flesh is not going to like it. Naturally, your flesh is going to react. You ever been around people that react immediately? They don't think. Hot-tempered people. People who have absolutely, you're going to see the reason God says you count it all joy. You're going to see just a minute why He brought the trial to you. Why, what if you're going through something right now, tonight, why He allowed that. My son, and I'm not bragging, Todd and Troy are good kids, okay? They're not kids, they're 48. Good night. They're not kids, and they both have doctor's degree, but they earned it, so don't. I'm not bragging, but I am proud. Is that wrong? No, I don't think they earned it. They worked hard for it, they don't think. But my son Todd's got his doctor's degree in psychology and stuff like that. He worked for Novant. He made them $25 million last year. They walked in his office back in January and fired him. I'm talking about a guy that loves God. I'm talking about a guy that's faithful to his family. He goes to church every Sunday. I'm talking about walking with God. He don't drink. He don't party around. He don't cuss. Let me get through here what I'm saying, okay? They walked in there and they fired 400 people in one day. They say he always started to talk and work down. And they walked in his office. The man walked in, had no idea about it. No one iota about it. He walked in there and said, Todd, you're fired. That man did not leave his office. He gave him 1 hour. He couldn't get on his computer. He couldn't get his information. He couldn't get nothing. He said, "Dad, in 5 minutes, I had everything I could carry." And that man escorted him to the door and says, "Don't come back." Why in the world would you treat somebody like that? Who's given 13 years of your life to a company and made of money? Kind of all joy. Your flesh won't do that. You'll get your lawyer and sue them. "Well, you treated me horrible. You did me awful. You treated..." Yeah, they did. This world is not God's friend, folks. This world is not going to treat you godly. The world's condemned. The world's about, "We get out of here. Let us come back." And then after that, it's over. For many years, of course, 1,000 years. 7 years, 1,000, okay? Why would you do that? He texted me. I texted him back. I said, "Read Psalms 34:4, son. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." And then I called him up and I sat down. I said, "I'm going to give you some verses. Get your Bible. Turn to James chapter number 1. I want to show you why you're going through this trial. And you're going to, at the end of it, son, you're going to think it's a benefit instead of a hurt." It took him February to a month ago, whatever that is. He got a better job. He's not on call on weekends. Anytime he wants to go with his family, go to their recitals, go to their ball games or whatever, he can just go. The only way, probably God, because he made over six figures, the only way probably he'd have left that job is God says, "I'm through with you here." He was witnessed in his office. In his office, he'd give away Bibles. He'd lead people to Christ in the hospital. Now he's got a different job, and God's put him right where he wants him. So the next time a trial comes your way, the first thing to do is say, "Jesus, thank you." And your flesh ain't going to like it. And we had to pray. And we had to try to help him through those periods of time. I'm just saying that trials have a benefit. And if you'll work with me, we'll find out what it was. Let's see. Go to verse number 3. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." If you got your Bible, circle the word patience. On your paper, put this: the right reason for trials is to teach you patience. There's no other way God uses in the Bible. I can't say no, excuse me. This is one of the main ways I feel like God uses it to teach you and me patience. You know why? We're not born with patience. If you are, why does people toot their horn at a red light? Some of them wave at you with one finger. Hurry. I was in Hardy's restaurant, and a man walked in there, and he took his sandwich, and he threw it down on the counter, and he says, "I told you to put mayonnaise on this thing." I said, ma'am, give him the whole jar. I'll pay for it. That's the kind of guy that got a gun to kill everybody over a stinking sandwich with no mayonnaise. That's how impatient we are. We can't wait in line. We got to have everything now. We got to be gratified at this moment. I've seen people fuss at restaurants because something was cold or something was just not right. I want to look at them and say, "Sir, I want to tell you something. I remember when I used to eat blackberries and a biscuit for breakfast. That was great." That's where we are. It's not improving either, because we're getting more spoiled and more rotten in every day of our lives. And now Christians are acting like the world. But you know why? patience. And the only way that you're going to have patience, and the only way I'm going to get patience, the only way is I got to go through some hard knocks. And by the way, when does it end, preacher? I can't say it ever ends, but I do know this. If you'll grow, you'll thank God for it when it hits you, instead of fussing about it. You ever toss and turn, preacher? Yeah, I'm human. So are you. But I'm learning that God has taken what He's done in my and what He's allowed to come to my life. I'm thankful. Now, go back to Romans chapter 1, but hold your space right there in James chapter 1. Go to Romans chapter 5. This sort of ties in with patience, okay? So we're not off the second point. The first thing is right reaction. Count it all joy. The right reason is for patience. Now, you got Romans chapter 5? Y'all with me? Now, watch this. God's a God of order. God is a God who always has order. It's like God, dad, mom, children, and government. That's God's chain of order. God has never thrown it upside down and made government tell what a real family is. Never. The Bible dictates and tells us what a real family is. So you have a chain of order. When you throw that out of order, it has been thrown out of order now. Now you have government and everybody else is equal. You don't have a chain of command. Children can divorce their parents. Children can do whatever they want to. And you better be careful if you hurt them. But here's God's chain of command on how God operates. Look with me in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now watch this. But let patience have our perfect work, and that you be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So God is a... No, I messed up there, folks. That's not Romans. That's James. Okay, just hang on. I'm trying... Here we are. I got it. I'm sorry. Here, let me turn back there. I'm sorry. This is God's chain of command, okay? In Romans chapter 5. Yeah, I got it. I know where it is, but it's just a matter of seeing it and finding it. I'll get it. Okay, go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, here's how God's chain of order works. And not only, what's that next word? So, read that for me, Randy.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience.
Go to the next one.
And patience, experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Okay, now this is what happens. God allows the trial. You thank God for it. And the reason He does it, aren't you have the trial produces patience. Patience produces experience. And experience produces hope. That's with your trials. Now this is what happens to us. We try to go from the trial to hope. God's good at it, but see, you don't want the patient part. You don't want the waiting part. You and I don't want the part to where God is molding us. And then the experience part. There's trials that I've gone through and probably trials you've gone through. You can say, I'm going to tell you, God can come through. Because now you have hope. You've gone through it. But the first thing that God deals with in trials come to your life is teach you patience. And then there's experience. You're experiencing it. Then there's hope. Hey, at 69 years of age, I can tell you, there are some things God can absolutely do for you if you will be patient. But we're not patient enough. And the way you gain patience. Now, If you ever gone up to Interstate 40 up toward Asheville, well, there's two tunnels. You enter the first tunnel, and that's your trial. If they turn off the lights, you couldn't see the end. But you got to keep going. You're in the trial. You're in the tunnel. You're in darkness. You don't know what's going to happen. But you don't sit still. You keep moving. And while you're moving, you're patient. But you got to keep going. And you keep going. And finally, there's a little dot out there. That's hope. But you still got to experience it. And if you keep going, guess what? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then, whew, it's behind you. And guess what's ahead? Hello. It's life. What we do, some people have never gone through the first tunnel. And God has to rerun it. Some people's life is a cycle. Around and around. Same old stuff all the time. But you know what? You hadn't passed. That's why, Brother Randy, we've got Christians been saved 30 years and they act like carnal babes over there in Corinthians. They don't grow. Going to heaven? Yeah. I did not experience the joyful Christian life. Charismatics got all mixed up. They think speaking in tongues and all that kind of junk and, oh, just having the big praise bands up here and all that stuff. That's, you don't understand. That's as flesh could get. That's as far from God as you can ever get. But I tell you what's real. When you have to suffer. You come out shining. That's when you can run and jump and shout. They have to make so much noise that you think it's God. So, the first thing is a right reaction. Second thing is right reason, that's right. Now, let's see if I can find out where I'm supposed to be, all right? Go back to James, all right? Verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience, in verse 4, and let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I got to mention on that right there on how to want nothing. So God tells us right here, He says, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And God giveth to all men liberally. And what's the next word? Upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. Put this right here, the right resource. Number 3. The right reason. Count it all joy. The right reaction is count all joy. The right reason is to teach us patience. The right resource is faith. Faith. Somewhere in your growth in God, you're going to have to exercise faith if you're going to grow. No other way around it. I'm a very fortunate farmer. You like a good church like you that helped me. I'm very fortunate. We don't take no government funds. I'll never take a dime. Never have. I won't. I've been there about a year, and I went to a fundraising group. They were Christians. And somebody told me about them, said, Jimmy, you need to go to them. And I've never gone that route, but I said, well, let me go look and see what they want. The guy said, if you'll sign with me today, I'll give you $100,000. He said, I'll give you $100,000. He said, we're legal. I mean, they were legit. They were fundraisers for Christian groups and people did stuff. He said, I'll give you $100,000. I said, what's your cut? He said, 35%. I said, over my dead body. I said, God gets it all, He don't get it. Folks, I don't even take a salary for them. You take care of your pastor. People like you, you give me an offer, you give me an offer and stuff like that, that's how I live. Somewhere in your life, you're going to have to exercise faith. That's your source. Faith is not something you handle. Faith is not something you see. Faith is just putting your life totally on God and saying, I'm here. I was telling Brother Jim right there, the state of North Carolina, for what I do, they get $390 a day. A day. To do what I do. If I get $20 a day, I'm happy. Some parents don't give us money. How you make a preacher? I don't know. We just hired a teacher. Brother Randy mentioned it. Sent out an email on it trying to raise money for her salary. That's how I do it. Let me tell you a story how God made a lady. Down in Alabama preaching, this lady sat on the back seat back there. Sir, were you seated? Real nice looking lady. Real old. She's 69. No. But she was just a sweet lady. And, you know, I get to meet everybody and people are real nice. She dressed real nice. You would think she had money. You would think she was had everything made. But let me show you what made her. She walked up to me with the pastor and his wife permission and said, Brother Clark, I want the pastor, I've already talked to them, and I would like you to come over to my house and eat supper with us. When I'm in some revivals, used to I do it a lot. Now, I don't do it quite as much. I used to stay with at your house years ago, but now don't I just don't do it. You know, I'm not person. I like to study and read and go to bed. You know? But this lady, she said, I want you to come over and eat. And I'll tell you what God did. He showed me an example, and I'm going to give it to you. And I went over there, and sweet lady, her husband had died. And I didn't know that. And the preacher and his wife was with me and had a good meal. And got through eating. She says, come in here, I want to show you something. So I walked in there, and it was a big bedroom. I'd say that bedroom would come right down through your cross like that. And there's two beds in there, and there lay her son and daughter. They were probably 35, 38, right around there. And she said, I want you to meet my children. They're bedridden. She promised she wouldn't put them in a nursing home. She promised that I'll take care of you to you somehow. In their something happened to both of them about the same time. Something happened to their mind just went. And all they could do was lay in that bed and smile at me. I think one was named Michael, and one was named Bonnie. And I saw what made her glow. Act like she had no problems in the world. I went back down there again, and she invited us over to the house and went over, and we were sitting there, and I says, ma'am, I want you to do something. She says, what, preacher? I said, I want you to write a book. She says, what? She says, man, I just barely got out of high school. Just a southern, nice lady. Not real brilliant, but just a great person. I said, I want you to write a book. She says, I said, I'm going to give you the title of it. She says, really? And I said, I'm going to write the foreword. I said, I want you to call it Mama's Blessings. And I want you to write about those two children, what they impacted your life. It's on the way up today. You know what made her? Two children, every day of her life, she had to take care of. Produce patience. She acted the right way. She'd come to church. She never was down. She was always laughing, smiling, shaking everybody's hand. Now, you would think she had money. You would think she'd got it all made. You would think totally opposite. I got a lady right now. Gonna write another book. I've challenged her. See, folks, you take where you are and thank God for it. Start living by faith. There's no telling what God will do to your life. But we want the $1 million way. We want, there's nothing wrong with making $1 million. If you do, give it to here and give it to Farmer. We'll take it. No, you give it to church. But I'm just saying, hey, I'm for it. Get all the education you can get. I believe in it. I've had 6 years of college. Don't mean I'm smart, but I'm just saying, I believe in all that. God finally is the one who's going to make your life. You'll let Him. God will take your life by faith. He'll make you something that the world out here can't make. You'll find out sometimes, if not all the time, the Christians who are the most content, the most seems like they got everything by the handle, probably are the ones who are going through the hardest trials. And the people who are spoiled rotten and don't know anything about trials, they're probably the worst Christians. Mark it down. You look through the whole Bible, person after person. You look at the Christ, our Savior died just because of doing His Father's will. Trials. We got to get through here, okay? Go to verse number 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall he shall pass away. Somebody read these verses. Verse 12. Read verse number 11. One more verse.
Blessed is the man that endured temptation. When he is tried.
Wow. When he is tried.
He shall receive the crown of life.
Wow.
Which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him.
Okay, put the right reward beside the fourth thing. Verse 2 was your right reaction. Verse 3 was the right reason. Verse 4 and 5 is the right resource. And verse number 13, was that it? Yeah. Verse 11 and 12. 11 and 12, yeah. It's the right reward. Brother Randy, the Bible talks about five crowns that we can receive when at the judgment seat of Christ. Five crowns that you and I, you don't work your way to heaven, but you can receive them. And there's five crowns that we can win, but we can present them back to Christ. Personally, I believe this is one of them. Right reward. You ever heard that old song, Brother Randy, you and your wife, the church sings good music. You always sing good music. You ever heard that old song by John Arnott, Must I go on empty-handed? I believe this is somewhat like Dr. Rice was thinking about going to heaven, talking about those crowns, but there could be a lot of Christians going to have nothing to give Him. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Not based on how you live. It's based on what you did with Christ. Amen. Period. That settles it. However, would this be something you could give Jesus? Some people's life, now get this, this is a good statement even though I'm fixed mate. Some people's life is around and around and around. God gives you a trial. You don't pass it, so He gives it to you again. When I was in college, Brother Randy, you're a lot smarter than I am, but when I was in college, I failed the course. Matter of fact, that's so good, I failed it twice. And you got to be smart to do that. But it was the summertime. I worked three jobs when I was down at Tennessee Temple. Very seldom slept. I went to the doctor when I was down there, when I was at Temple, and the doctor, when I sit down, I go to sleep. What's wrong with me? He said, you go to Tennessee, Tim? I said, first thing. I said, yeah. He said, how many jobs you got? I said, I got three. You got a family? Yeah, I got a wife, two boys. They're in Christian school. He said, you got to quit a job, buddy. And I paid him to give me that advice. Cut my own neck. But I did it. When I took that test, I didn't say premillennialism. Don't ask me to spell it. Just, I can tell it. I failed it twice. One of my grades, you ever get your old notebooks out? You ever been in a class and look at your notebook and all of a sudden it goes, you went to sleep, you idiot. I looked at it and I laughed. You work third shift and second shift and throw papers and go to school. You probably have done that too. I laughed at it. But you know what, teenagers? I took it the third time and I made a B. You know what? I didn't have to take it again. Now, make that applicable to you and me. Gives us a trial. We fail it. Gives us another trial. It seemed like the same trial. We failed. But he gives it a third time. You passed. You know what he's going to do? He's going to go to the next stage. Run it again. Not the same trial necessarily. That's why we have babes in Christ. That's why we have baby Christians. That's why a lot of Christians never get the rewards that God wants to give them on this earth. It's because they don't pass the test. Whatever you're going through tonight, whatever God sends to you later, there's a young man that I know that I was already in evangelism and things like that, and he went to college. He went to Piedmont. Did you go to Piedmont? Yeah. Joel Smith. Did you happen to know him? You may not have known him because Joel started, then he got married, then had a child with cancer. He had to deal with that, but he'd go back to school and something else happened, and he'd get out, then he went back. He graduated at 42 years of age. And I told Joel when he was first going there, I said, Joel, when you graduate, he was from our home church, Sheepsmore Baptist Church in Lexington, North Carolina. I said, when you graduate, people always call me about knowing of a church, I know of a pastor. I said, I'll recommend you. So at 42 years of age, Jim, he called me. He said, Jimmy, I graduated. I helped him get his church. Started probably when he was 18. You don't think God's not proud of that boy? You don't think God don't like to shine a blessing down on him? We take the girls up there and they treat us just like y'all treat us. And I sat there the whole time and said, there's a young man who had trial after trial after trial after trial. Now look at him. Don't love me more than he loves you, young buddy. God don't want me to succeed more than you. If you'll start now, thanking God for what you're going through, thanking God for your heartaches, thanking God for the misunderstandings, and grow. And grow. The world's not getting any better. Matter of fact, my eyes, since I was a teenager, it's gotten worse. Amen. So what we got to do, we just got to get closer to God. We got to depend on God. God's not broke. God is not broke. God's still wanting to bless. We started in January, which y'all saw our new bus. We needed a bigger bus. Now, Randy, Preacher Randy, we ain't got but two seats left on that bus. What am I going to do after that? With the staff and the girls we got, it brings it up to about 22 people. And we got a 24 passenger. Do I stick a roof on the top, make them sit up there in chairs? What do I do? Well, if he gave me that one. Hey, let me tell you the story behind that. I might have told it when I was here, but I got to praying because we had to have a bigger bus. And I'm gotten older, and laying under one and trying to work on it on the highway is not what I want to do. And so, just like tonight, I'm going to jump in the car and get home. Probably around 12, you know. But you got a bunch of girls around there. Me, I can handle it, but you got girls, you got to do that. But I got to pray about it, I got to think about it, and I wanted to buy a new one. You say, why are you buying a new one? I ain't going to lay under it. Okay, is that okay with y'all? But anyway, a man called me, a good friend of mine. He owns a transfer truck type place. And good Christian man, love God. And he said, I hear you want a bus. I said, yeah. He said, go ahead and order it. I laughed. I said, what do you mean, order it? He said, order it. I said, I ain't got no money. He said, order it. I said, I don't operate that way. Uh-uh. I said, ain't no way I can do that. I said, let me start raising money. Well, next thing I know, he starts chunking in there. And next thing you know, people started helping and stuff like that. People started sending money to the farm and all that stuff. And brother, I lacked $19,200. That same man. He called me. He said, you ever ordered that bus? I said, no, I haven't. He said, I'm telling you, order it. And he told me back in January. Maybe I was a little stubborn. But I'm having to pay for it, not him. It's a little bit different there. He's got a little money there, so he said, there will be $20,000 in your bank account today. I told you to order. And we're driving. That's God. Now I got good credit. My property now, there's no telling what it's worth. Gave $276,000 for it, paid for it, raised the money for that. It's worth millions now. Just one building I got, they value at $1.5 million. Just one. They don't count 18 acres of property. It's not in my name. That's in our corporation, of course, so we can do it legally. But it's God's. But you got to start somewhere. And God, thank you for this trial. Help me. There's not a person in this building God don't want to bless. He don't love me nor anything. He shed the same amount of blood for you as he shed for me. Amen. He cares about you. The flesh don't like this kind of message, but the Spirit does. Amen. The flesh wants you to live for yourself. And young people, if you ever learn something, you can beat yourself to death and never get ahead. But if you'll trust God, it's always there. Amen. Always. Brother Randy, we have people come down and bring us stuff like y'all have. It's just amazing how people just stop by and say, we want to help you. Call me and say, do you need a freezer? Yeah, I do need one. Well, you're going to have it. I can go to a store and we got a guy there. I go up there and we buy a stove or something. He gives it to us. I'm going to write a book with a lot of these stories. I want to. I already started on it. I'm going to call it Faith Venture at Farmer. I'm going to put a little red caption in there. And this is what it's going to say. It pays to have no money. Now, I'm no super Christian. I got a flesh like you. I have to sleep. I have to eat. I get tired. Sometimes I even get disgusted. And dealing with the parents that I do, sometimes it's just hard to deal with them. I'm no different than none of you. But I do have a God that I can trust. Amen. And when he puts me heat on me and brings me through trials, there can be benefits out of it. Let it. There'll be benefits. I got a friend who's going to be operated on Tuesday. He's got cancer. You're talking about a good Christian man, loves God, good preacher friend of mine. I called him on the way up here Saturday. He's going to be operated on Tuesday. I wish you could hear his attitude. I don't know if I got it. I don't know if I got what he's got. Just a guy that is just unreal. And he's not worrying, not fretting, he's not upset, not mad. He said, well, I just thank the Lord for it. I don't know if I'm there. So next time a trial comes your way, thank God about the benefits of this trial God's allowed my way to help me grow. And to be more like him. That's the whole key, is to be like him. And when you do that, like that lady sits back there, sweet, one of the sweetest, I've met a lot of good people in my ministry, and I could write stories about them. One of the sweetest ladies I ever met in my life was a lady down in Dalton, Georgia. And her husband died. She was a lady. She was about 15 years old. She's in heaven now. She was about 15 years older than me. And she told me about sweet. That lady was so close to God, Brother Randy. She had called me, and I said, well, I was fixing to call you. She said, well, I thought about you. When she you talk about walking with God. And me and another preacher would preach in that area down there and would stay with her. Brother Randy, you're talking about a godly lady. You're talking about knowing God. One time, he and I were at a conference, and they were preaching up there and had started, and we looked at each other and said, let's go back over Mama Hot. There's more God over there than it is here. I said, God's all over that woman. Ain't nothing going on here, man. And we both sort of laughed. But you're talking about full of God, but she's gone through trials. That's what's made her. My little Aunt Irene, I could tell you stories. We fix it to quit. Or it's overtime. You hear that? No, I'm just joking. But my little Aunt Irene, I wish you could have met her. Little short lady. My mom was short too. She loved God. Her whole adult life, her husband was a drunk. Now, Uncle Doug was a good person around us, but Uncle Doug would get drunk every day of his life. Aunt Irene, if anything done around the house, she did it. She built a shed one time. Never forget. Perfect. And she built a shed, like a pottery type thing, a nice, real nice shed. Anything broke, she had to get it done. She wouldn't leave her husband. She didn't run him off. How do you thank God for that? But if she had walked in here tonight, well, she could. You talk about a godly, loving aunt. Wow. Ran before he died. Got saved. Now, why did he get saved? I know God convicted him, God wooed him. It was that little wife who endeared all the way. I don't understand things like that. I really don't. She followed God. Now, I had probably the sweetest grandmother anybody could ever have. Let me just tell you one more story. We'll quit. My granny used to sit right there, brother, when I was a little country. We used to go back to that little church when I was a little boy. And they rebuilt, but it's the same location. I'm excited about that. And I used to sit right behind her. My granny was a shouter. Granny loved God. I wish I had her with me today. I'd take her everywhere she would. That's a shout, granny. Have yourself a time. Granny was not a loud shouter. She'd raise her hand like that. She'd raise like that. She got it there. I knew what was next. I'd sit right behind her. My granny, she'd raise those little hands. You'd have to know her. Oh, wow. All of you'd love her. She'd raise her hands like that. Did you stand up, preacher? She didn't go, ah! She'd say, whoopee! Whoopee! I watched her. Did you know my three brothers, myself, my granny prayed that all of them would be saved? Last one was saved. I led my brother to Christ. Granny prayed for that. Out of those four boys, Granny prayed that one of them would be a preacher. Not a boy. My granny prayed for me to be a preacher. I don't want to let Granny down. Surely I don't want to let the Lord down. I don't want to let Aunt Irene down. My mama was a very, very good person, loved us, whole life as a family. But Granny Swain and Irene was something special. Girls, if you want to sit your life on something that will fill your life, be like people like that. Not some 65-year-old woman out there trying to act like she's 15, packing it in everywhere. Foolish. Putting wig on, all that mess. Come on. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I don't see none of y'all like that. You trying to straighten yourself up so you won't look like it. Nah. I think you know what I'm saying. Let me tell you what made them. Both my grandfathers died in their 40s. They didn't have cures. What they died for. They lived their adult life. I mean, the kids are raising kids probably on their own. That's how people made it, through God. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for tonight. Thank you for Brother Randy letting me come by. Lord, I pray that this will be something that people will use the rest of their life. When I'm gone into heaven, they'll remember that trials is what makes us. Trials produces patience, and patience produces experience, and experience produces hope. That's life. What a nugget. What a gold mine. What a rich, rich, rich verses to teach us facts about life in a wicked world like America. Although parts of the world are so wicked, but America's becoming like a pagan nation. So, Lord, how do we go forward? There's the answer. So, Lord, we love you. Bless this church. Bless Randy. Bless these people who come out tonight. Bless these teenagers. In your name we pray. Amen.